Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. The New York Yankees shut out the Nationals last night. D.D. Gregorius breaks out with a couple of solo home runs. They hit Bryce Harper twice unintentionally, but that was still kind of fun to see. Hopefully he's not hurt for an extended period of time, but no one really likes to see that guy thrive around these parts. And the New York Mets lose another embarrassing game. Their manager gets thrown out. There's no good news around them. But screw them, because the Yankees continue to win. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, Joe. And as I'm flipping back and forth between these two games last night, I'm watching the incompetence of the Mets. So after Mickey Callaway gets thrown out, it's like, the three blind mice are running the team or something. Like, you know, and they're talking about no double switching. Do we take Wheeler out? Don't we take Wheeler out? Hum-na-hum-na-hum-na-hum-na.
Who knew there were two guys dumber than Mickey Callaway in that dugout?
Look, I'm just telling you right now, it was a mess after he got thrown out. Those guys had Doug DeSensei, and those guys had no idea.
DeSarcina
and DeSarcina, I'm sorry.
Right. DeSarcina
and
Highland.
They had no idea
what
the hell they were doing. It's right. Like, are you kidding me?
Right.
It's just like, what, have you been sitting around, like, you know, eating sunflower seeds for, the entire year? I mean, it was bad. That was bad. You know, Wheeler was bad, too, because Wheeler, they get the lead, and now you're throwing 97, 98, and I think he even hit 99 a few times last night. I mean, go out there and get their best players out. Now, Freddie Freeman's turning out to be Chipper Jones in this whole scenario.
He's doing it against most teams, though,
I know, but I'm just saying, but he's turning into their Chipper Jones. Yeah. And he's turning into Chipper Jones, especially against the Mets.
Right.
Because he just kills us. But, you know, that's the thing, like, you got the lead, and you got your young gun on the mound, and this kid has a chance to go out there and shut them down and gives it right back up.
Yeah, but this is...
I understand there's bigger problems and all that. I'm just talking about one specific instance, and that is what happened with Zach Wheeler. The other instance also here is that, you know, Sandy Alderson's press conference yesterday, you know, look, lay it at my feet. Okay, so what does that mean? So we're going to lay it at his feet that this team sucks. What's the deal? What is the retribution? What is the accountability? When I see those coaches trip over themselves in the dugout, I'm like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yeah, I never
expected. This is supposed to be better than this.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, Sandy Alderson, everybody is blaming you already. As if he stepped out from behind the shadows and said, oh yeah, by the way, I'm the general manager that built this mess. We already knew that. I mean, what, 75% of the phone calls that we take here on the Mets are people wanting to crush Sandy Alderson, so we already knew that. So, I mean, I don't understand if that's supposed to make us feel better. And this season, if it continues on this path, you just can't bring them back. I don't care what they did a couple years ago. It is just on a wrong path. I mean, you know, the Yankees call guys up. They throw them in there. They end up being, you know, basically borderline all-stars in their rookie season. You know, we're calling up Dom Smith for the second time just for the hell of it. I mean, it's like
for the hell of it. But to be fair.
Why not?
To be fair. You wanted to get rid of Adrian Gonzalez.
That's fine.
So if you're going to get rid of Adrian Gonzalez, you got to replace him.
But
somebody.
I mean, at that point, I never really wanted him on the team.
And you're going to want to get rid of Jose Reyes. So when Wilmer Flores comes back, goodbye to Jose Reyes.
Exactly.
Assuming nobody else, you know, pulls a quad or a hip or an oblique or a shoulder or a finger or a back or an ass muscle or whatever. Goodbye to Jose Reyes. You know, and that, you know, the interesting thing, I heard Sandy talking the other day too, saying that. You know, Jose Reyes is a part of the team. You know, he did have a big hit for us the other night. And I'm like, yeah, he had a big hit. And then he almost threw the game away. I mean, were you watching the same game I was watching? I mean, right. What about the accountability? So I don't think Jose's long for this team. And that's just a matter of time. And that's just a minor move anyway. It doesn't really matter. This team basically is the losing has engulf the team, and you could see it. You could see it the way that they carry themselves individually. I know that you have all these injuries, and I know that Syndergaard's getting a second opinion on his finger. I mean, why do you need a second opinion on your finger?
Well, obviously, it's not healing correctly, and he still feels it.
It's your finger.
Whatever doctor he went to the first time told him it'd be fine by now, and it's not. So that's what's going on. So it's another one of these Met things where you think you have a timetable, and then that timetable goes away, and it extends, and you don't see your best players for an extended period of time. It seems like it's always them, you know, whether it's Cespedes, there's a rehab game, then tweak something, or a second opinion on a finger.
This is like it's gotten out of control now. It is like it has been spiraling out of control. I mean, I think it's, you know, now today you got DeGrom on the mound, so who knows? You know, maybe you win today's game, and hopefully he goes out there and does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, because they win all the DeGrom starts, right?
Well, maybe they'll win 1-0. Who knows? All I know is that just watching that fiasco in the dugout, whether are we going to take Will out or we're not going to take Will out, are we going to double switch?
Well, then they put in Seawald. They don't double switch. Seawald's up third in the next inning. It's unbelievable. How do you do that in a National League game?
I mean, but my point,
because at that point too, it was still a one-run game. It's just so stupid.
But that looks completely unorganized.
Because it was, because they didn't know what they were doing.
It's almost like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. But anyway, so I'm flipping back and forth, and I'm watching, you know what I'm saying? Wheeler's throwing 97, 98, 99. He touched, I think. And then I go over, and there's the crafty CC Sabathia. Now, every time I watch CC Sabathia pitch, I'm amazed. I'm amazed because he's a large man, and I'm waiting for like a knee to buckle or a hamstring to pull or something. He probably won't pull a hamstring, but I could see a knee buckling because that's happened before. And then when he has to come off the mound, he has to throw the ball to first base, and how that, like, he throws a lollipop there last night. And I'm like, just rip it over there. Let's go. But he was really good last night. And that's a good lineup. And they had Daniel Murphy back in the lineup last night.
Yeah, for the first time all year.
He, you know what? That's what you call guts and guile, because that's what he is. What he is now. He's a crafty older pitcher. Knows where to put the ball, knows how to elevate the ball. I was listening to Al Leiter last night. It was great, just kind of taking you through the pitch sequence and all that other stuff, and trying to predict what he was going to throw, and you know where Romine wanted the pitches and all that other stuff. So I don't know how long CC Sabathia is going to last, though. That's the thing.
Well, I mean, the guy's been durable his entire career. I mean, I would imagine that he's going to be fine for the rest of this season. I mean, I don't look at him as someone who is going to break down at any point.
I don't know. I just think, you know, just he's a big man. He's an old man. I'm just thinking knees and everything else. But last night, this is another really quality outing by him.
Yeah, I mean,
felt bad for him, you know, that he didn't get to go the full six innings and, you know, the little lollipop single. Against his last batter was a little bit. I think he was laughing about it yesterday as he was coming off the mound. But I don't know. You know, the Yankees are touched right now. Everything they're doing is somebody else is picking somebody else up. And last night it was Didi Gregorius night. It was of course Betances night again. It was a Chad Green night again. And Chapman gets a save again. I mean, it just keeps rolling.
Yeah, and it wasn't a Gary Sanchez night. As Aaron Boone sat him down, he says he's going to sit him down for the next two games, not just because of the slump, but also because of this calf muscle that's been bothering him.
I was just about to say,
I don't know.
Aaron Boone can say whatever he wants
right.
to say. It's a slump.
Well, I mean, but it just, I guess it's more palatable if you attach an injury to it as well, where people say, oh, okay, well, he's going to rest something as opposed to he's just getting benched because he can't hit. But we'll see. I don't know if a couple of days off is going to help him or not, but he has certainly not had a great season. I still think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Gary Sanchez. He's not going to dig a hole he can't get out of in 2018. He's going to be okay, but this is one of those things. All right, you didn't like the manager last year. Gary Sanchez was one of those guys. The Girardi-Sanchez relationship apparently wasn't all that great. So let's see if Aaron Boone can do it better in this type of situation where Gary Sanchez has been struggling both behind the plate and at the plate. Will he be able to press the right buttons to get him back on track? I mean, I don't know if Aaron Boone has got that connection with the players that Brian Cashman wants. I have no idea, but when the team is playing like this, you would imagine that he's doing most of the right things.
Well, the thing is they're winning. So when they're winning, you know, the tough times for, say, a Brett Gardner went through a tough time already this year. Stanton's been going through a tough time since the beginning of the year. Sanchez, tough time beginning of the year. But the energy that Andujar, that Gleyber Torres has brought, the play of Austin Romine, the play of Hicks, Has kind of fluctuated up and down. He's not been great, but you know, when you kind of put it all together, you have this one of the best teams in baseball, even when other players aren't doing what they're being paid to do or what you expect them to do. I would just say that they need a starting pitcher. We all know that. I know that there's going to be this arms race for the bullpen to maybe get a lefty or something, but I still think that when you get to the end of the season and you're standing there, and if they're standing there with their current rotation, they're not going to go very far in the playoffs.
Were you surprised that Bryce Harper reacted the way he did to both of those? Because it seemed like getting hit twice last night, because it seemed like he really, really got hurt both times. He came out of the game the second time.
Got hit right on the top of the toe, man.
Right, I know, but I mean, then the elbow one, too, he was like grimacing and was... He must have been hit like really in the spots that
he got hit right on the bone of the elbow, and he got hit right on the top of the toe. You know,
I mean, is that hurt that much?
Although we have a hammer in here somewhere, let me get the bat. Where's the bat?
Yeah, but I'm not Bryce
Harper.
You know
what I'll do is let me just hit you in the toe with the bat.
I was surprised though.
I won't hit you hard. I'll just like tap you right on the top of your toe.
I feel like Bryce Harper's a little tougher than that though. No,
well. I know he's tougher, but I'm just saying, just got hit in two really very vulnerable areas.
I mean, if that
hurt.
Was Brandon Nimmo, man, he would sprint right down to first base and shake it right off, you know?
Yeah, if that were Brady Shea, he'd be right back out on his next shift. Yeah, let me see that. Thank you.
Well, I mean, this isn't a ball. This is a bat. this is a different situation.
Let me just see your foot. Let me see your foot.
All right. You think you could recreate it?
Yes, right?
All right.
You ready?
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Jeez!
You all right?
What? Why'd you hit it that hard?
But I told you. Yeah, see, you okay? Want me to do the other foot to make it even?
I don't want you to do the other foot.
Come on.
You meathead.
Or do the elbow. That's where he got hit.
Oh, by the way.
All right, you want to do the elbow?
All right. Right. That's awesome. Let me do the shoulder.
No.
You all right?
Listen, I can't criticize Bryce Harper and not be okay right now, so I'm just going to shake it off.
You better shake it off. And by the way, talking about shaking things off, I see you shook that mustache off.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, what happened?
You know what? I kept it all day yesterday. I actually shaved it when I woke up this morning.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. I just felt like I couldn't come back in with it again this morning. And also, yesterday, getting through the day. Like, it's fun when we're here in this environment. It's a television show and a radio show, and... It's fun. When you live your normal life with the mustache,
yeah,
you're really self-conscious about it. For example, we had to take the baby to the four-month checkup at the pediatrician yesterday. So I'm sitting there, you know, holding the baby. My wife and I are in the room holding the baby, doing all these things while I've got this mustache.
Right.
And I can tell the doctor, as she's talking to us, is, you know, looking at me as if... She needs to do something about this. You know, like, wow, I don't know about this guy. I don't know. Is something off with him? I don't know. Is there somebody I need to call?
Well, she has seen you in the last 4 months with your full beard and mustache.
Yeah, but I mean,
and
I don't
now
know.
It's just your mustache.
She sees a lot of people.
That's kind of what makes you so creepy.
Right. So she was like, as she was telling us certain things, she's just looking at me like, this is not good. And then also, as people who live in Suffolk County will know, or Long Island, if you drive onto beaches and stuff, I got the Ford F-150. I'm going to be driving on the beach. I have to get a green key card, right?
Yes.
So it's like a little card that you have for the Suffolk County Parks. So I go there to get it yesterday, and of course you got to take a picture. So now the picture that's on my green key card, I look like Super Mario. So I've got that for the rest of my life, the rest of the year. So I was like, I just can't live like this. You know, I can't. There was a moment, though, at the Suffolk County Parks. I went to the West Sayville Golf Course to get this. So I did have a moment with another mustache guy.
You did?
So it was a guy behind
another mustache guy.
Yeah,
okay.
There was a guy behind the counter that had the mustache. And we had a moment. It was crazy. The guy looked at him, he looked at me, and we both nodded at each other in approval. Like,
nice,
yes.
Nice.
Like, we know what the world is like through the mustache glasses. Like, we know what
so
this
you
is
really
like.
So you really had this whole, like, out-of-body experience regarding your mustache then.
I was a different man yesterday.
I feel bad because I felt like I brought it up in a negative way, and I didn't mean to.
No, not at all. No, I mean, I felt like a different man yesterday. I just couldn't come back with it again today. It felt like a one-day thing. It felt like just a little bit of a departure for me. But I have to admit, because now, I mean, I'm not totally clean shaven. I've got some stubble there. But I have to admit, the mustache looks better than this look.
I don't know. You kind of got the Brad Pitt look going on right
Brad
now.
Brad Pitt?
Yes. Yeah, you got the right. Stubble going on.
If Brad Pitt was allergic to bee stings, maybe this is what Brad Pitt would look like. If his head blew up. I mean, this is just, this is not a good look.
You don't like that either. So you're going to go back to the whole thing?
Yeah, I have to. I mean, I'm a beard guy. That's what right. I am. I have to. It just, it shapes the face. It covers up the double chin. It's just, it's something that I got to go back to.
You know what was so, also so, like disappointing last night that, you know, I think it was in the bottom of the fourth inning, the bases were loaded, and there's no outs, right? And you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go. This is going to be an implosion by Wheeler, and then the Braves are going to get all over him. And they get out, well, they kind of get out of it. You know, Wheeler, you know, gets the ball hit back to him. He throws it to Mesoraco. Mesoraco goes home to third. You don't really ever see that. And they get this really competent double play. And they're like, okay, let's get out of the inning. Everything's going to be fine. Let's relax. That we give up a run.
Yeah, and then also Mesoraco on the other end of one of those, where he grounds the ball to third, where you've got second and third and one out as an opportunity to get a run home, grounds it to Camargo, who does this circus act play, tags out Cabrera, who I don't know what the hell he's doing. I mean, he was like avoiding third base as if it was some sort of pothole, and then throws him, Mesoraco gets thrown out at first.
It's just unbelievable. Like, that was the thing about Wheeler. You know, okay, you got the bases loaded, you get the double play. All right, get the next guy out. And it's a little flare right over shortstop and a run. I mean, and that's the type of thing that, you know, guys like him, if you want to be Jacob deGrom, you want to be Max Scherzer, you want to be Justin Verlander, you want to be Luis Severino, that's the crap you got to get out of.
Yeah, and
you just got to get out of it. You can't give up a hit after you just had this great double play happen. You just can't.
Yeah, but if the Mets want to be a team that hangs around at all, they've got to have more than three hits. They've had three hits. 9 out of the last 10 games they've played. No more than 3 hits. 3 hits. I mean, we're talking about a 10-game stretch here. Then no more than 3 hits, 9 out of the last 10 games. So you can give me pitchers and Seawald and bullpen and Callaway and all these guys trying to figure out how to manage a game after Callaway gets thrown out last night. They can't hit. They cannot. This is one of the worst offensive stretches it is the worst offensive stretch I've ever seen as a Mets fan. I can't think of a worse one. I mean, maybe like at one of the end of the season where they were totally out of it and they were just a mess. But I can't remember it. So as far as my memory goes, this is the worst offensive stretch I've ever seen them in. It's that bad. You can't 4 hits? You can't get 4 hits? Pathetic.
Well, it sucks. That's at the end of the day, Sandy Alderson basically took ownership of it yesterday. I don't really know what that means long term. I don't even know what that means short term. I think it's just words. I know I could hear it in his voice how angry he was. We hear it in the voices of Met fans all day long here. You know, you're out in the street anywhere I go. It's like, you know, what about the mess? What about the mess? What about the mess?
They stink.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
And that's where we are again. We're right back there, you know, where they just don't have an answer for what the hell's happening. And I don't necessarily know that I have an answer other than you're going to have to start over. And if you're going to have to start over, then you're going to have to make some very hard decisions. And do you trust the guys that are running the team to make those hard decisions? And when I'm talking about those hard decisions, I'm talking about the trading deadline and the chips that you have to trade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.